Perfect. So good evening, everyone. Thank you for joining us for the Magnolia Public Schools Facilities Committee meeting. My name is Jennifer Lara, and I'm the executive assistant. Before we begin, I did want to bring two brief reminders. First, this meeting is being recorded. And second, if you are a member of the public and you wish to give a comment during the public comment section of this meeting, you're more than welcome to state your name. You're not required to if you feel uncomfortable in doing so. However, to the members of our board and staff, please state your name before speaking. Now, with that being said, we'll begin tonight's meeting. Today is December 9th, and the time is 5:34 p.m. Mr. Mohammadov, our Facilities Committee Chair, may you please call the meeting to order.
Yes. Hi, everybody. This is Mikhan Mohammadov, and I call in the order to commence the Facility Committee meeting on December 9th at 5:34.
Thank you, Mr. Mohammadov. I'll now take roll. Mr. Mohammadov?
Here.
Ms. Gonzalez?
Here.
Ms. Covarrubias?
Here.
Great, we have quorum to move forward with the meeting. Ms. Covarrubias is the alternate for this committee. She is joining only in the interim, and once Rabbi Beliak calls in, Ms. Covarrubias, you can call off. So next, we'll move forward with the public comments. Just a reminder, you are given 3 minutes to state your comments, 6 minutes if translation is needed. We did not receive any public comments form for this meeting. However, if a member of the public wishes to give a comment, please unmute yourself. Great, if there's no public comments, we'll now move on to the approval of the agenda. So the motion is to approve the agenda as presented. Would a board member like to move this motion?
I'll make the motion to accept the agenda as presented.
All right, so I'll say Ms. Gonzalez called it first. Mr. Mohammadov, you second?
Yes.
Perfect, so I'll take vote. Mr. Mohammadov?
Yes.
Ms. Gonzalez?
Yes.
Ms. Covarrubias?
Yes.
Perfect, so the agenda has been approved as presented. Next on the agenda, we'll move to the approval of minutes from the Facilities Committee meeting, January 15th, 2019. Would a board member like to move the motion?
I'll make the motion, this is Sandra.
Thank you, Ms. Covarrubias. Is there a second?
I'll second it.
Thank you, Ms. Gonzalez. I'll now take vote. Mr. Mohammadov?
Yes.
Ms. Gonzalez?
Yes.
Ms. Covarrubias?
Yes.
Great, so the minutes for January 15, 2019 has been approved. Next on the agenda, we'll move on to the recommended action items, starting with action item 2A, approval of MPS staff to respond to letter of intent and negotiate purchase and sell agreement. This item will be presented by Mr. Ontiveros, our General Counsel, Director of Facilities. Mr. Ontiveros?
Yes, good evening, everybody. This is Patrick Ontiveros, General Counsel and Director of Facilities. This item by way of background, I would say over the last couple of years, I've been updating both this committee and the board on the skating rink project that the city has had in the works for a very long time on the parcel that is immediately adjacent to the parking lot parcel, the high school parking lot parcel, which was part of the new construction project that we completed last year. So we've kept up our discussions with the city, and they recently came back to us and said, okay, we're ready to move forward with this project. However, in order to fit it into our parcel, we need to acquire land either on the other side of our parcel or your land. The other side of the parcel was not interested. It's owned by a real estate development company, CIM. But they approached us and we said we were open to the idea. We've had multiple discussions over a period of time surrounding this, what we would need out of this type of transaction, in order to make it worth our benefit. So they finally presented us with a letter of intent. It's a non-binding letter of intent, but it does start the conversation on preparing a more formal purchase and sale agreement. And the purchase and sale agreement would obviously be very comprehensive, have all of the terms and conditions that we need in order to consummate this transaction. So this is really just kind of like the first step of starting that type of transaction. So in the commercial setting, as some of you may know, it's typical to start with a letter of intent to make sure all the parties are on the same page. And then once that's signed, move forward with a purchase and sale agreement. The letter of intent that was presented to us, there were a couple things that were not included that I mentioned to the representative from the city. And they said, oh yeah, that can be in there. Are you okay with us memorializing that in the purchase and sale agreement? And I said, yeah, because I don't think we should spend a lot of time trying to negotiate a letter of intent when it's non-binding, A, and B, it'll start the discussions for a more formal purchase and sale agreement. So this is a three-part recommendation here. One, we're asking that you approve and move that the board approve our CEO and superintendent to sign this a non-binding letter of intent. The second piece to that is to begin the negotiations to prepare a final purchase and sale agreement for the property, which would be binding. And then finally, the city did ask, they want to be able to at least start the entitlements process, because as you know, or as you may know, when you have a legal parcel and you want to divide it, you either have to do like a lot line adjustment or a subdivision. I forget which one is applicable here. And the city, or a buyer, I should say, regardless of whether it's a city or not, could not initiate that process on their own. They would need the owner of the property, the holder of the deed, to consent to that. So that was a specific request that they included. They want to be able to start that process moving forward. And again, that's at no cost to us. There is no obligation. If something were to, if we were to decide at some point that, you know, we're not going to move forward with this project or this transaction, is not something that we want to do, then that would not obligate us to do anything. It's just the process of starting the land use entitlements. And as some of you may know, land use entitlements can take a lengthy period of time. So, we're just showing our good faith in assisting in getting that process moving forward. So we had, and just in the board report, I did include some of the prior authorizations and actions that we've taken, is specifically on April 23rd, 2020, the board passed resolutions, saying that staff should continue the conversation with the city about a possible purchase and sale transaction, determine a valuation for the land, and in discuss with the city representatives what we want out of this project. So, you know, just that's for your information. And Exhibit A to the report does show the land that we're talking about. Okay, yeah, thanks. So it's a little bit on the top where you see Magnolia, that is the high school parcel, high school parking parcel that was improved with when we constructed the building. And the checkered pattern, the red and white checkered pattern, shows the amount of land that they want to purchase from us. So that is the strip of land that we are referring to. And as this diagram shows, you know, it's the Magnolia parcel, the City of LA parcel, and then the CIM parcel. That's how they're connected there. So those are the, again, those are the recommendations that we're making to this committee, which would then, if you agree, would recommend and move that the board adopt the exact same approvals. So I'm happy to answer any questions you may have at this point.
Thank you, Mr. Ontiveros. Before we give the board the floor to ask their comments or questions, is there a member of the public that has a comment regarding this item? Perfect. If there's no comments or questions from the public, do committee members have any comments or questions regarding this?
This is Mikan. Thanks for the presentation, Patrick. You laid out pretty well. I mean, personally, I'm familiar with what's going on more or less with MSA 1. And as it said, the only thing I had was, so when let's say the LOI is approved and we move forward to Patrick, and there are permits and requests and this and that. Are they built to Magnolia, or how are they handled once the process starts? Do we know that, or it's not clear yet?
Well, so the land use piece, the city will pay for that entirely. So okay. When I speak with the city representative again, I will say, hey, the board, you know, I'm assuming approved this, and we will go ahead and sign whatever documents need to be signed to get this process moving forward. And, you know, by the way, as we understand it, it's at no cost to us. So going forward, that's how it would be constructed. And that would even be reflected in the purchase and sale agreement that the buyer is responsible for paying for any entitlements that they need for their use of the property. And that's a standard commercial term.
Commercial, right. And having, since we're talking about that, so we will have to have a realtor to kind of, when it comes to that, for the escrow and stuff, and that fee will come out from us as the sellers?
Yeah, I mean, typically, well, there is no realtor involved. There's no broker involved in this. So that's, you know, we're saving money on that off the top, which is good.
Because that could be from 4% to 8%.
Yeah,
So no, we don't have that.
Yeah, there's no broker involved in this. So thank you.
Okay, so we won't, so whatever the, I mean, assuming that board moves forward with this, whatever is negotiated, that's the price, and that's what Magnolia is pretty much getting.
Yes, correct. And I should just also note, I just want to make it clear that we will start the negotiation process for a purchase and sale agreement, but that purchase and sale agreement will still have to come back to this committee for approval and then go to the board. So just want to make
sure. Absolutely. So LOI is just showing that there is a letter of intent on both sides to talk about this and maybe negotiate.
Yes, absolutely. Yes.
Okay. Thank you.
Is there any further questions or comments from the committee board members regarding this item? Great. So the motion is for the Facilities Committee to approve and recommend to the board that it approves the following actions. First, for the CEO and superintendent to sign the non-binding letter of intent presented by the City of Los Angeles for the purchase by the city of a portion of the parking lot that serves the MSA 1 High School located at 18220 Sherman Way. Second, for the MPS staff negotiate a final purchase and sell agreement for the property, including but not limited to a fair and reasonable sales price, and hire such vendors and consultants as may be needed with such final agreement to be presented to the committee and MPS Board of Directors for final approval prior to signature. And third, for the CEO and superintendent to sign any permits and requests required by the City of Los Angeles Planning Department to commence a lot line adjustment, subdivision, or any other action that may be required to complete the purchase and sell transaction if approved by the Magnolia Public Schools Board of Directors. With that being said, does a committee member like to move this motion?
I'll make the motion.
Thank you, Mr. Mohamedov. Is there a second?
I'll second the motion.
Thank you, Ms. Gonzalez. I'll now take vote. Mr. Mohamedov?
Yes.
Ms. Gonzalez?
Yes.
Ms. Covarrubias?
Yes.
Thank you. The motion carries unanimously. Next on the agenda, we have action item 2B, and that is approval of MSA 1 Franco Architects design contract. This item will also be presented by Mr. Ontiveros, our General Counsel and Director of Facilities. Mr. Ontiveros?
Yes, hi, this is Patrick Ontiveros again, General Counsel and Director of Facilities. So this agreement with Franco Architects came about. By the way, I should preface this by saying that Franco Architects was the architect that designed the high school project. So they did the building, the parking lot at MSA 1. So they have familiarity with this project. So this arose because, as some of you may recall, we did go through a land use entitlement process last year. And actually, I think it started in 2018 and was completed last year, which changed the zoning of the parking lot parcels at MSA 1. You'll recall that there are three parcels that make up the, you know, the greater MSA 1 parking lot parcels. And they were zoned just for parking. So in other words, you could not do anything else on them. So in order to allow us the flexibility to do something more productive with those parcels, we went through a zone change application with the city to change it from parking to commercial, which greatly expands our flexibility to do what we want to do with the parcel. So for example, we still have some shade structures on our parcels, the parking lot parcels. Under the prior zoning, that really wasn't even allowed, as I recall. And so we had to get special dispensation in order to do that. And, you know, we had those on there for a while. It didn't really create much of an issue. But, you know, it wasn't something that we were, as of right, had the ability to do. So the zone change gave us the flexibility if we wanted to build a structure on it, we could do that now with this new zone change. So that's by way of background. As part of that zone change application that we submitted to the city, it had to be premised on us doing something with the parcels. And at that stage, we thought it would be best, and I think the principal wanted to have outdoor space, to make outdoor space for both the middle school and high school, because again, those parcels right now are just strictly parking, and there really is no green space or outdoor space or even, permanent lunch structure to provide the space to have dining outside. It's just these makeshift shades. So with that in mind, we contracted with a separate architect to do kind of a master plan. And there were various iterations of this that we went through. But ultimately, we came up with the site plan, which is shown on Exhibit B, which is now actually part of the record, the zoning record. So this is what the city expects us to do. I do not recall an exact time frame, but given where we are with the pandemic, as far as having the space on the outside, this seemed like a really good time to move forward with this. So you'll see Exhibit B is the site plan that we came up with. And so you'll see the top part of it, the space closest to the school would be an open space. Whereas it's just asphalt right now, it would be, green open space. And then towards the back of the property, we would be putting a concrete pad under which we would include, outside dining, lunch tables, and then we could also put a basketball court under that. So that's the idea there. And then we would also have a running track around the entire parcel. And we would also have some modular restrooms that would be outside. Again, right now there is no such thing. And finally, we would be putting a fence around the entire property, which would encompass also the high school parking lot parcel. And that's really a good thing, because I know the school and Mustafa could attest to it, that they've had issues with people dumping on our site and people just loitering there. And this would give the campus a more, closed campus feeling, so that not just anybody could roam onto the property when they want to. So that's the idea there. So this is what was submitted as part of our zone change application. Again, this is what the city is expecting us to do. Alongside this, we also need to fix the drainage on that parcel. We did fix the drainage on the high school parcel, and now what we're looking to do is fix that on this parcel. And actually, it's something that we should do regardless. We should have done it a while back, but we didn't have the bandwidth or the money to do it, but we need to do that. The other thing we are doing or proposing to do with this agreement with Franco Architects is to obtain permits for the construction of the block wall at the back of the middle school parking lot. And just to refresh your memory, the neighbor on the other side of that, property line in the past had complained that water drained onto her property, causing, alleged damage to her property. So we did enter into an agreement with that neighbor. We entered into a settlement agreement whereby we agreed that we would be constructing a block wall at the rear of the property. So that's what, since we're looking to do this work with Franco Architects, we thought it best to just include this rather than hiring somebody else to do that under a separate contract. And then finally, the other item that we are looking to include is to modify the first floor interior of the middle school building so that it's level. Right now, if you were to look at Exhibit C, the area in the middle of the middle school building is sunken in. So you have to, you know, walk down some steps, and it's not flush. So we think it would increase the utility of that space if we were able to make it just, you know, all level. So that's something else that we included in this proposed contract with Franco. So that's the scope of work that we're proposing to do with them. They as I mentioned, they were the architects of record for the high school building. And, you know, even though there were a few hiccups along the way, you know, they did overall, I would say they did a good job. And I've worked with them over many years. They're very reliable. They're very responsive. So yeah, I think they're a good architect for this project. And we are using our CEO's emergency powers to bypass the RFP process for this, which I think is the right thing to do here. We want to get this project going. We think that it's going to be critical once schools reopen to have that open green space at the middle school parking lots, or rather the middle school parking lot parcels, so that if we need to have outdoor instruction, we would have that ability to do so. So yeah, I think it's a good time to be moving on this project. You know, and obviously once we have the designs, once we have the permitting, obviously we would do an RFP for the contractor to do this work. And we would be able to also, you know, figure out what can be done, or if there are certain pieces of this that are too expensive, we can, you know, decide to do those at a later time. So that is, that's my presentation. I'm happy to address any questions or concerns you may have.
Thank you, Mr. Oliveros. For minutes purposes, I'd like to announce that Rabbi Beliak has joined us at 5:50 p.m. Hi, Rabbi Beliak.
Hello, everyone.
Hi, Ms. Covarrubias.
Hello.
Ms. Covarrubias, you can log off or you can stay as a member of the public, whichever you would like.
So I'm no longer able to vote?
Not sure. Mr. Ontiveros, can you assist on that?
Well, she's an alternate, if I'm not mistaken.
Yes, yes.
Yeah, so I think it's appropriate only to take the vote of the standing members. And since she was standing in for Rabbi, I think it would be appropriate for either her to vote and Rabbi Beliak to not enter this meeting as a committee member, or else to do that and take Ms. Covarrubias' spot.
Sandra, if you have the time, I think it would be important for you to be in on the discussion, and I would urge you to stay if you're not pressed. There are a number of questions that I have, and I think that Alfredo has probably alerted the staff as to the questions I have. So, Patrick, if you can go ahead and respond to those questions.
Yeah, so I just to make sure I'm addressing everything, I think the concern was us choosing to use Franco Architects in lieu of doing a RFP process for the selection of the architect. And so I have a few reasons why I think that was the best approach. Number one is really timing. You know, we want to jump on this as quickly as possible. Again, with the pandemic, I think it's important for us to make sure that our space is as safe and as flexible as possible for when the students return to the campus. And I think having outdoor green space, having that area that has a solar shade structure on it, I think that would give us the flexibility to have hold classes outside if we needed to. So you know, I think time is important here. That's I would say that's number one in my mind. Number two, they're familiar with this project. As you know, they did the high school project, and they bring that experience with them. And why that is important is because the grading design of the high school parcel was very important, and we would actually be looking to mirror that exact design on the middle school side, which I think ends up saving us money because we don't have to have an architect look at it and come up with our own design scheme. This has been vetted. It's gone through the City of LA approval process, building safety. So it should theoretically, one never knows with the city, but theoretically it should go through and receive approval, you know, fairly quickly, I think. And if the third thing here is, I think, is cost. $58,000, I think, for this scope of work is a really good price point. There are certainly other architects that we as an organization have worked with, that I have worked with, you know, in my prior life with a different employer. Franco Architects is consistently the better priced architect. And I don't think that many architects who have experience in this area, frankly, would be interested in this project, just because it's not that big. It's not a showcase project. It's pretty utilitarian as far as what we're endeavoring to accomplish here. So I think, you know, cost-wise, I think this is a good price point. I think this is a fairly straightforward project, and it's, you know, I think we don't need to hire somebody who's going to try to turn this into the Taj Mahal, because that's not what it's intended for. So I hope that answers the questions, and I'm happy to answer any other questions.
Sorry to interrupt, Mr. Ontiveros. Before we continue, just want to make it clear who is participating as a non-voting member, either Ms. Covarrubias or Rabbi Beliak.
So I think we stated at the beginning of the meeting that the rabbi would be coming on, and I did notice him coming on before you stated for the record. This is Alfredo Rubalcaba, by the way. So I think that was the intent. So in this case, the rabbi would be the official committee member. And then obviously Sandra could stay on. If I'm mistaken, Patrick, let me know.
No, I think that's correct. I mean, we have an alternate member, which means that that alternate member only stands in the place of the member that she's supposed to. And if that member is participating, then I think it's appropriate for either that alternate member to continue participating or the original member to step in and continue and take that place or their place.
Okay, so thank you for that. So Sandra, we thank you tremendously for filling in. And as the rabbi said, definitely stay on. But if you have an urgent matter or any thing you have to tend to, then we understand, but hopefully you could stay. But for the record, Jen, the rabbi is the voting member on this item.
Okay, thank you for clarifying.
Let me state, this is Rabbi Chaim. We need to bring Macon into this issue, and I want to remind our staff that Franco was the architect that either neglected to design properly the ventilating for the high school, which as a result kicked off a series of expenses that cost us in the neighborhood of $160,000. They claimed that they had followed the rules. The people from the inspection office claimed that they didn't follow the rules. And we, in the end, of course, had to fold, and the people that paid for this was the school. Now they come, and I guess we've invited them. They never really took any responsibility when this expense of $160,000 plus took place. And now they come with a small project, $58,000, which we're not sending out to bid. I'm not in favor of hiring them at all. They have not been responsible on the earlier project. Since this is a simple project, anybody that's halfway competent in an RFP process can respond to it. We won't allow them to propose the Taj Mahal. I just, on principle, Franco has not done us any good. And we can't keep giving people who do bad work contracts. You know, if they had come back to us and said, look, we made a mistake and therefore we want to make it up here, or we don't think it's our mistake, but we'll make it up here, I would say, look, you know, these things happen. But that's not the case here. And I'm frankly astounded that the staff has gone this far with them. Astounded. I would recommend that the staff take this, issue an RFP, and do this properly. I agree with you that this is a wonderful project. I agree with you that it's worthwhile doing, but we need to do it properly.
Thank you, Rabbi, for the input. And I had a chance to read the staff's recommendation and the job. And I visited MSA 1 on several occasions after coming on board. In light of those, I just have some questions, Patrick.
Certainly.
When do we expect, is a timeline for this? First, I just want to know that so that we know when to expect if things move, and of course,
sure,
if they don't.
Yeah, so as I mentioned, there are several scopes of work included in this. There, the two that I've communicated to them that are the priority is one, getting the permitting for the block wall fence at the back, which should not take that long. But again, with the city closed, I think it's probably going to present more of a challenge than we might otherwise expect. Secondly, the second one is we want to paint the middle school building to be more consistent with the high school paint scheme. So that's another smaller scope of work under their contract. So in their contract, I'm proposing that those kind of be the first two items that they address, and then they would move into these other items. So design-wise, I think it probably would take 3 to 4 months, maybe less than that. And by the way, I do want to quickly address board member Beliak's comments. I understand what you're saying about that. I think the issue there was we had something that was approved by the city at the permitting level. And then at the inspection level, we got different feedback. And honestly, I think that happened across our project at many different times. We would have something that went through building and safety. And then, you know, when the inspectors came on site, they had a completely different interpretation and were not willing to follow what their colleagues at the plan check level had permitted. So I think that enters into my analysis, and I do want to make sure that I bring that to your attention. There were many instances where that happened. So I do want to say that. And frankly, even though I kind of that's included in my analysis, if this were a different project, I probably would not. If this were a new construction project, I would probably say, okay, you have problems with all kinds of architects. You know, none of them are perfect, unfortunately. I would probably choose to use somebody else if it were a different type of project, a new construction project. But this does not involve any of those difficulties that we saw with the high school building. So in my mind, I totally understand and appreciate where you're coming from as far as the principle of it. I get it. I agree with you to a certain extent. And I would not necessarily use them for a new construction project, but I'm satisfied and confident that this scope of work is within their wheelhouse to do. So I just wanted to address that.
A couple of things, Patrick. Thanks for that, and to address Rabbi's concerns as well. I mean, I personally was involved in the beginning of the MSA Santa Ana and MSA 1 project, and we changed the contractors in the middle. And the usually 3% change of order, and correct me, Patrick, is something that happens. Change of orders always are part of it. Yeah. How was that related to the expenditure they had compared to the total cost of the construction with Franco in terms of change orders? Yeah. If you're going to just classify it like that.
Sure. I mean, there were not, I would not say that there were excessive change orders for the new construction project. I think it fell within that percentage that you just mentioned. Mm-hmm. Some of the things I think were definitely unknown. Some things I think could have been addressed earlier in the process. You may recall, for example, I think Rabbi Beliak, you were around when we talked about the waterproofing for the roofing. When I got involved in the project, that had already gone through, a decision had already been made about how that was going to be approached. And it wasn't the platinum standard. It wasn't the gold standard. It was more of the bronze standard. And, you know, once we got into construction, that the issue of the weatherproofing, the waterproofing came up again, and we wanted to make sure that we got it right. Sometimes the architect makes recommendations based on you know, what we say, okay, this is our budget, and this is, we kind of go, you need to design the building to this budget. And sometimes along the way, you know, you'll rethink certain things and say, oh, well, it might be worth some additional expenditure to make sure that things are done a particular way. So, but I'm sorry, maybe I got a little off track there. I think the change orders for this project ultimately were not excessive as far as a percentage of the project. I think a good deal of them came about at the inspection phase where again, the inspectors came in and really second guessed their colleagues at the permit counter, where the plans are reviewed and commented upon and ultimately stamped. I think, you know, at that stage, the inspectors did second guess and said, no, well, that's not my interpretation of the code, and I really don't care what, you know, so-and-so at the permit counter said. This is how I interpret it. I'm the final, I'm the judge here, and so you need to do it as I say. There are many instances of that. And I think as a result, we did incur many change orders because of that. And even there were instances where we would have an inspector on site one day, would give one comment, we would fix it according to that comment. And another inspector would come out another day and give, either add to that first comment or say, no, I don't agree with that. We have to do it the way you originally did it. So there was a lot of, instances of that, which I think, was responsible for some of these change orders.
I see. Thank you for that. With architects, especially, I remember with Berliner, we worked with Berliner for MSA Santa Ana, and after submitting it to DSA did not approve the parking lot at the time, and we had to go back, and it delayed us for 6 months. And yes, we were really mad at Berliner, but the feedback rabbi at the time we got, and we weren't as much experienced, and we did not have people like, you know, counseling and facility department even at the time. But from the consultants, what we were getting was that just changing was just too costly, and there was no guarantee that the next one would not make the same mistakes. So, I mean, staff here is going to have to deal with them, and they work with them. And, Alfredo and Patrick and Mustafa at school site, I mean, if they feel comfortable that they can work with them, they can push them. And, you know, it's not as complicated as before, and time is of essence. I think a chance can be given here. What do you guys say? Because you will have to be dealing with them on a day-to-day basis as a staff to get the project completed.
Yeah, I could start off. This is Alfredo, and then I'll turn it to Mustafa. I think, obviously, whatever mistakes were made, we as a system, we make sure that those mistakes don't happen again with, you know, whoever we work with, whether it be, you know, our own personnel or vendors. So we have to ensure that we have that discussion, and we make sure that when they do enter into this new phase, that those mistakes will not happen again. And then I think secondly is understanding relationships, understanding how far relationships go. We know that Patrick has worked with them for a long time, and he understands their work, not only relative to his professional experience, but also to the charter school world. And then the other piece here is that, you know, we lost two parcels that we had where we used to have physical education for the last 3 years. And that was taken away from us, right? And we know that this new structure will allow us to have physical education for our kids, and hopefully everything goes as planned and this virus doesn't create more havoc. But our expectation is that when we open up 2021, let's say August, or if we have summer school, you know, in July, that we're able to offer outdoor learning experience for our students, either through, you know, classroom-based instruction or something relative to our CIF program or physical education. So when we discuss with Patrick and Mustafa as a team, you know, if we delay this process any longer, you know, by doing an RFP, you know, does this jeopardize us starting and having this ready by July? And there was a resounding yes, we do. So I think we weighed all factors, and we definitely weighed everything that, you know, the concerns that were given in the past from Rabbi and other committee members. And when we weighed all those things, we said, ultimately, you know, we have a good you know, expectation moving forward, and we think this is the right move. So that's just what I would add specific to this. And I appreciate also the rabbi's comments on this one, because I remember those meetings and I remember how we discussed these things, and it did seem like expenses were coming out of the blue, and no one, you know, takes responsibility, or they move things. A little agitating, because we know in the professional world, someone always has to take ownership, right? So I understand that. I appreciate that. But in an aggregate, that's why we felt the way we did. So I'll turn it over to Mustafa to add anything from his perspective, given that he's managed the school as construction has happened at that site now for over, you know, 2 years.
Thank you, Alfredo. Good evening, dear board members. This is Mustafa Sahin, the principal from MSA1. I mean, I don't have anything to add on top of what Patrick and Alfredo said about Franco Architect, and then, you know, overall their performance. You know, during these those 2-3 years, actually, I would say 3 years, because we started planning and everything. And, you know, they have been very responsive, all the things that we requested. They try to accommodate our needs in the plan overall. And I definitely concur what Patrick said about those city inspectors. You know, every time we would hear totally different scenario, totally, like, we were like pulling our hairs, like, okay, why didn't you tell us when you came first time? You know, every time you come to audit, every time you come to the site for the audit, you say something else, something else, something else, something else. And I definitely, you know, agree what Patrick said, because that was the reason why we were not able to open the campus in August. We kind of delayed till the end of September. So it kind of pushed everything a little bit further and further. But in terms of for next year planning, Alfredo, you just, you know, mentioned everything. Definitely we lost those three parcels right next to our high school building. We have been using it for 3 years. And then they sold the property. Right now, we don't have any access to that property, so we don't have any place. And it is really important. And then it's gonna definitely make a huge difference in our operation, because we don't have any place to have a PE. We don't have any place to kind of provide the PE classes at our site for middle and high school students. And as Mekan said, I think it's a similarly small project comparing to the high school building. I think we can easily manage and work with them maybe last time. I also definitely agree what you said, Rabbi Belyak. You know, they also definitely made that mistake. But as of right now, you know, that's what we are proposing as a team. You know, we have been meeting with Alfredo and Patrick every week. We have a set day and then time just to kind of go over those items. If you guys can approve, and then so at least we can move forward. So we have those facility upgrade up and running and ready by 21-22 educational year, which is hopefully July, June, you know, latest August. I don't want to kind of open it in the, you know, when we open the campus in October or September. So
when did you start?
That's what I have.
When did these meetings start?
Probably, I want to say maybe
two months ago. We started
two months ago. Yeah, and it really just started. I mean, there's a whole host of things that we need to facilities wise that we need to address with MSA1. You know, for example, the school wants to put shade structures in order to have classes outside. So I think that was probably one of the initial kind of issues that started us, you know, having recurring weekly meetings, just to make sure that, you know, we're being held accountable and the entire team is on the same page. So, and we're also going to be doing that with MSA San Diego. Alfredo and I. So it's you know, these things kind of they came up. Well, why don't we take care of this and you know, in light of the pandemic that we're going through.
Can I just add one thing, Rabbi Beliak? Sorry.
I don't want to listen to you right now. Okay. Were you in on these meetings?
No, but I have been in touch with Mustafa and visiting MSA One site and getting feedback from him.
You reported to the board about these meetings, and you made a decision that we didn't need to do an RFP. Who made the decision that we don't need to do an RFP 2 months ago?
Well, Rabbi, when we, just to be clear, this specific piece about the RFP and not issuing an RFP, this was done collectively between myself, Patrick, and Mustafa. In terms of once we started to discuss, because Mustafa let us know, and again, this is just an added piece. He let us know that the CIM.
Sorry, Alfredo, I'm still the chair. This is something I should have been informed about. This is an issue of trust. We have allowed you a great deal of latitude as the CEO to do all kinds of things. We've allowed you to spend extremely high amounts of money. And I'm sorry, I'm just shocked that this has been going on for 2 months.
Yes.
Now, coming at the last minute when we think there's just a short time. I'm sorry, this is not a way to do things. I am definitely not happy with this, the planning of this. I'm not happy with how this is being proposed. And we don't do business anymore. And this is something that we all know, that after the last series of times when we were rushed here, rushed there, we have to do this or else the kids can't get to school. We had an agreement with you, Alfredo, with you, Patrick, that we would not do these kinds of things, that we would not come up to the deadline and say, we have no choice tonight, we have to make a decision.
And that's fair. That's fair in the sense that if you feel like you've been pushed in a corner to make a decision, obviously there's multiple things that happen on a day-to-day of an organization. So for me to discuss every single matter specific to each school site or organization, that's something when you and I talk, I don't share everything. So for me, this specific project, you know, these things that we're bringing to you, LOI, we had discussed the LOI from April of last year, right? And we knew that we were going to do capital improvements at MSA One, right? So we knew back then in April that we were proposing to do capital improvements, right? So this issue of Franco Architects now doing this larger project, $58,000, like, I do believe, obviously, given what was done last, there is some sentiment of, you know, it's a matter of principle, and, you know, we should seek others, right? And those things we do discuss, and we did discuss, right? So that's why we are bringing it to you as a facility committee to them before we bring it to the board. Could have I said, hey, let me tell the rabbi about Franco Architects and things like that? Yes,
I'm happy that we're having this discussion. It's Franco Architect. It's a project that's in the works for 2 months. And we're now being told that we have to make a decision now, or else we won't make the time when we're going to need it when school comes together. So no, I'm not done yet.
Go ahead.
This is not the way we are supposed to do this. This is again a repeat of something that we have been explicit as a board that we didn't want to do it like this.
And just to be clear, Franco Architects did not come into the picture when we started the meetings. This is something that Patrick, again, because when I work with staff, I don't follow through on every single detail, right? So if Patrick brought this to us, and I don't know if it was a month ago or, you know, 3 weeks ago, whatever that was, when we start having that discussion through the day-to-day, then I try to get that information and disseminate it. So if for some reason, obviously in this case, it triggered some bad sentiment because of what they've done, that is my fault in terms of communicating to you as a chair. And I take that responsibility and I make sure it doesn't happen again. But I don't want you to think that this is a covert kind of us talking behind, you know, the committee to try to make decisions. That's not what it is. It's simply us with all the priorities we have currently since the pandemic, trying to be as communicative as possible, but understanding how you feel in terms of what is this, you know, what this means in the larger landscape, I think that's what we're hearing from you. But I don't want you to think that this is something we're keeping away from you or we're trying to make a decision without all of the board members. That's not what it is.
And if I may jump in here, Mustafa reminded us that actually those meetings did not start because of this. Those meetings started because Mustafa had received notice from the CIM landowner that they had sold the parcels and therefore he could not use them anymore. So that was a, you know, oh crap moment. And we started having these recurring meetings to address issues like that when they came up. So by no means were we, you know, talking to Franco Architects for 2 months about doing these projects. As Alfredo mentioned, you know, at most they've been involved, you know, I solicited their proposal, you know, maybe 3 weeks ago. And it really came about as we were talking about all these different things. So for example, we talked about, you know, Mustafa had a budget to paint the building. And we decided that it would be in our best interests, you know, in terms of getting a good work product, if we hired somebody to help make the middle school building sync well with the high school building. And since Franco Architects had done that, we thought it would be a logical choice to go with them. And so that was like, that kind of started the conversation about using them. But by no means did we at any point say, we have all these projects, we're just gonna give it to Franco. I think it's more a matter of circumstance. They started to be in the mix.
Projects has Franco done for MSA?
I want to say in addition to the high school, I want to say they've done maybe two other projects, but it's nothing extensive.
So I obviously have a very different view about what happened in the meetings. This was an issue that I followed very closely. Yes, having grown up in construction, I know something about it myself. And I'm asserting that number one, many of the things that you describe as the inspectors coming and one inspector saying one thing and another inspector saying something else is something that happens. I'm also pretty aware that we were going to put down a blacktop. And it was the Franco people that had asked us to put down a blacktop that was at a grade far beyond what we needed for the kind of use we have, especially since one of the things we were considering was that eventually these areas might be bought. And who bought these parcels, by the way?
What do you mean, who bought them?
The CIM.
The CIM parcels, the ones where we used to have the physical education.
Actually, we've tried to get an answer to that. Mustafa received the notice in the mail. I think he followed up with his contact there. Didn't get a response. I looked at, you know, resources that I have access to, you know, based on title. and did not see that it had changed hands. I then followed up with a city representative and asked her, "Hey, you know, did you buy the property?" And she was surprised to hear that they had sold. So she didn't know anything about any sale. So part of me thinks that actually they didn't really sell it. They just didn't want to let us use it anymore. But you know, even today, we still don't know if it actually changed hands.
So who owns it now if it didn't change
hands? CIM.
Yeah, Beyond, means what again? I forgot.
It's a big developer. They're the ones that have owned it for many years now. And they're a big developer in Los Angeles.
So CIM, the big developer that owns this, and the city is looking at bringing in the skating rink. Therefore, they, you know, want to clear the property so that it's not encumbered because they're waiting to sell it to the city.
Perhaps. That could very well be the case. I mean, I would not be surprised if they said to the city, "Hey, we want, you know, $10 million for a strip of land." I mean, that's not inconceivable.
Yeah. Just out of curiosity, since we have a figure of $58,000 fixed fee, I noticed that they already know that it's a fixed fee to develop something that is so simple that a drafting student can do it for about $4,000. Let's say their fixed fee of $58,000 is indeed a fair fee because they are Franco architects. What is the project cost?
We still don't have a figure for that. One thing I did want to mention is I would propose that we engage a general contractor to provide pre-construction services to validate their designs. So in other words, bringing somebody on early on, they could say, "Yes, this is the correct way of designing it, and we can construct it this way," or, "You know, I see what your intent is with this design, but if you do it a different way, you'll still achieve your ends at a lower cost." So I think I would propose at a certain point we would bring in a general contractor to help us with, in some sense, almost kind of looking over the shoulder of the architect and making sure from a constructability perspective, there aren't going to be any issues.
So one additional question that I have is this floor leveling, which sounds to me makes a lot of sense. Did we ever get a estimate at some point? I'm surprised that this was left over. Do you have any information about that?
When the high school project was under construction, we did ask Altman's to give us a cost estimate for that. And it was pretty expensive. I'm not sure how much, faith I put into it, only because I'm not sure it was really something they were focused on at the time. They were obviously focus on the high school building. And I just, they were working off of just no drawings. They didn't have a design to work with. So I think they probably made a lot of assumptions. It could be expensive. And we've had that conversation internally that when the dust settles, we may have to, leave something out. And that may be one of the things that we leave out because it may be too expensive. I mean, obviously it's structural. It's a big structural issue, and the structural engineer is going to be key there in doing this. So, I think if I seem to recall that the estimate that Altman's gave us was in the high, you know, hundred thousands. And Mustafa, you can correct me or add to that, but I think that was my recollection. And we just kind of took a step back and said, okay, we need to focus on this at another time because that's, you know, we don't have the budget for that.
Patrick, also when this is being designed, and probably that's something to consider and make sure these one, the shade, the basketball area, the green area, you know, for the kids to hang area and the inside the school, those are kind of independent of each other, right?
Yes.
And
yes.
I would like to make sure that if you could add it, and probably have done it, say it's pandemic, it's getting worse and worse, hopefully things pick up, but things happen, and given come October or September schools open, we should at least have the portion prioritized for the physical education. Yeah. So that we can have that ready, and I guess it these things can be done steps. Hopefully it won't get there, but I'm from what I'm looking, and I'm just looking at the exhibits that you've provided, right. Kind of the projects are independent of each other. And secondly, on this conjunction, we can actually get the RFP for contractual, the project where we can actually price them separately too, I'm assuming. Is that right?
Yeah, sure. Yeah. They would certainly be priced, you know, separately, so that we know. We might be in a situation where we have to pick and choose.
Right.
We may be able to put, you know, the green space, but for some reason the track piece is too expensive. You know, things like that happen. And you know, this the middle school piece could very well be, you know, expensive because of the structural elements to it. So. You know, we would have to have a design to be able to take out to contractors to say, you know, give us a price for this. I like Altman's. I think they did a great job with the high school building. I think it's always a dicey proposition to say to a contractor, hey, I want to do this with my building. Give me a price. You know, they didn't really have a design to go off of. You know, they're just gonna put together numbers, and it's gonna be, I think, conservative, because they don't want you to come back later on and say, hey, you know, this is you're now that we're actually in the thick of it, you're telling me it's gonna cost, you know, using round numbers, $1 million, and you know, 6 months ago you told me it was gonna cost $400,000. So, you know, I think that's just the nature of the beast. The contractor is going to give you a more conservative number to cover themselves.
All right.
I want to ask Mustafa, if I could, please, what are the practical implications of this situation where you have the step down? I imagine that when we have students, it's an inconvenience when there's crowding. How important is the step down?
So the idea just came after we had some rainy days, some hot days where we didn't have any place outside. So we just, you know, that middle room, we barely use it. No one is sitting in that room. And then we said, you know what, we can make this room, this area as a big, you know, area where we can do assemblies, where we can, you know, serve lunch and, you know, provide after school. You know, we can utilize for many purposes because it's such a, you know, when we make it level, it's going to be a big area. We can utilize kind of inside recreation area, like anything. We can do anything.
So you're talking about the area behind the door, or the area of where the rails are now? That would be kind of a room, is what you're saying.
Yeah. Jenny, can you scroll a little bit up? Can you show the first picture? Here we go. So the circle on this picture, the first picture, that's the area that I am talking about. This is kind of This is a view from my office. So what we are planning, what we are proposing is, you know, where that door is. So from here, from that door to all the way down, all the way back, we would like to kind of demolish the walls and then make it a big open area. So we can utilize that area for anything, you know, assemblies, again, for, because we are going to have 450 middle schoolers and then four grade group of 9 and 10. So imagine we have 15 plus 8, we will have 23 grade groups that we need to provide PEs. And then, you know, sometimes we can also use this area, like maybe we can do yoga or something else, you know, we can utilize, and we can also utilize this area for our, you know, science fair, robotics competitions. Like there is a lot of potential. We can utilize this area for school-wide events. So that's where the idea came from, honestly. I hope I'm making sense.
If I may just add to Rabbi, I also think that you kind of meant the center picture, right? Where there are stairs, where it is right now is kind of inconvenient in terms of ADA and it being right in front of elevator, right? So I think Mustafa, that will be also a convenience, right? If we flatten that out, right there in the center picture where there is a blue arrow showing, I believe there is a stairs there, right? A couple of stairs.
There are two stairs and then one ramp that goes to the elevator. If you look at the third picture, so that's the ramp. And then there are two stairs on the right and then left side.
And if you will recall, Alfredo and Mustafa, I believe it was in 2011 or 12 when LAUSD came and required us to level it on the second floor. Right, there was this ADA inspection, so yes. They didn't say anything for the first floor, though I think there was similar thing done upstairs on the second floor.
That's correct.
All right.
With that, are there any other further questions or comments from the committee board members? So with that, I'll state the motion. The motion is for the Facilities Committee to recommend and move that the board approve the architect agreement from Franco Architects Incorporated for design and engineering services for certain capital improvement projects at Magnolia Science Academy 1. Would a board member like to move this motion?
I'll make the motion.
Thank you, Mr. Mohamedov. Is there a second? Is there a second for this motion?
I'll second it.
Thank you, Ms. Gonzalez. I'll now take vote. Mr. Mohamedov?
Yes.
Ms. Gonzalez?
Yes.
Rabbi Beliak?
No.
Thank you for your votes. The motion carries with 2 yeses and 1 no. And with that, that concludes the end of our agenda. Let me pull it back here so everybody could see. Mr. Mohamedov, may you please adjourn the meeting? The time is 6:52 p.m.
This is Mekan Mohamedov. Facility Committee meeting for Magnolia Public Schools is adjourned.
Thank you, Mr. Mohamedov.
Thank you. Thank you, Jennifer.
Thank you, everyone. Have a good evening. Take care. Have a good night.
Good night, everyone.
Bye-bye. Bye.
Good night.
Bye, guys. Thank you.